Well, let's go to Galatians chapter 6. We'll start there for today. Galatians chapter 6, and I'm going to be reading verse 9. I'm going to read this from the Message translation, so follow along best you can. If you don't have your Bible, you can follow along on the screen. It says this, "So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. Let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit." And, you know, the enemy's trials and things he brings our way is to get us to quit, to get us to draw back, to get us to stop. And all of us at some point are tempted to quit and to give up. And fatigue leads to quitting. Fatigue leads to drawing back. When you are fatigued, things get blurry. Things get fuzzy. You lose your focus. You're not as effective. You know what I'm talking about? You ever have that, you know, where you just don't feel like you're being effective? You know, you're just feeling weary. You're feeling fatigued. Now, I wish every day was a major day of harvest. I wish every day for you was just miracles and things just happening to you. And, you know, and in a sense, things are happening. We don't necessarily see everything. God's doing something in our lives every day. But, you know, some of these big things, you know, we just wish we just, you know, every day. And so a lot of our days are waiting and expecting harvest. And kind of just going through our lives, how many know? I mean, you're good people, right? You're trying to do good. And there is an enemy trying to stop you, kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't like you doing good. And so that's part of the problem. And so what do we do in those times where we're waiting on harvest? Or waiting for the dream to come through? Or waiting for the vision to come to pass? I had the privilege, I was in a conference this last week in Alabama with a ministerial group, and I was, before that, I was in Australia with another ministerial group there. And I had the privilege of talking to some older believers, older in age and older in the faith, meaning like walking with Jesus for like 60 years or more, been in the ministry like 50 years. And it was just really good talking to them because you want to have people around you that are making it, people around you that are older, that have kind of set a path and a pattern. It encourages you that, you know, God's got good things in store for you in the future. Because sometimes you can wonder like, well, I'm getting older and it's going to go downhill. But these people that are around, it's uphill. I mean, it's better. It's good things in our future. And so that was very encouraging. And both the guys that I talked to like this, they were saying the same thing. That the key to being long-term, and that's one of my goals, is long-term ministry, long-term marriage, long-term family, is spending time with God. That's a key. Spending time with God. Worshiping Jesus. And so today I just want to remind you of a few things. Mainly I'm just going to read some scriptures, make a few comments. And hopefully that'll help you today. But let's look over in Psalm 16, verse 7. It says this, and you know, as you're just listening today, you don't just listen with these ears, listen with your heart. Your spirit, you know, we're a spirit, soul, and body. Our spirits have ears. And so I just want to just encourage you while you're sitting today, or as we're going through the Word and as things are being ministered, just receive. Pay attention. Listen with these ears and listen with your heart. Be engaged. Let God minister to you. Let God speak to you. Let God meet you right where you're at. He wants to do that today. Psalm 16, verse 7, Amplified Version says this, "I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. Yes, my heart instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord continually before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory, my inner self rejoices. My body too shall rest. Isn't that something? It's talking about the inner man and the outer man. But things happen to the outer man from the inner man. And we get that mixed up, and we look out here to try to bring peace, but peace comes from within and affects this world out here. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory, my inner self rejoices. My body too shall rest and confidently dwell in safety. For you will not abandon me to Sheol, the place of the dead, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. Now get this. In your presence. Everybody say presence.
Presence.
Say God's presence.
God's presence.
In your presence is fullness of joy. Not just joy. Fullness of joy. Your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. The secret of living a long life, living a long satisfied life, having a long ministry, having a long marriage, having a long anything, is coming into His presence often. Spending time in the Word, spending time worshiping Him, spending time praying, spending time just sitting there, being in His presence. Rest. I mean, joy is not a feeling. Joy is not a feeling. Happiness is a feeling. How many know it comes and goes? I was talking to Harry the other day. He was out at ORU. And it was Thursday or Friday. And he was telling me, you know, he's had a kind of a tougher week early in the week. He said, but today I just woke up happy. Just woke up feeling good. And so there's a feeling that can come and go. But joy is a knowing. Joy is a confidence. Joy is a steadiness. No matter what's going on around me, is I have joy. I have confidence in my God. I have confidence in His Word. I have confidence in what He said to me. That I know it may look tough. I don't know how I'm going to do what He's calling me to do. But I know that He will put me over. He always causes me to triumph. That even in the midst, it may seem like I'm losing, I have victory. For the battle has already been won. Your battle's already been won. We just got to walk it out. So you might as well walk it out in joy. Instead of being all stressed. All worried. Acts 3:19. How about that? Let's go there. Acts 3:19. There's going to be kind of a theme through these scriptures, so kind of see if you can catch it. Acts 3:19 Amplified says, "So repent." You know, we make this big deal out of repent, but it just means to change your mind. So repent. Change your mind and purpose. Turn around and return to God. You know, and that's not always having to do with, you know, dealing with sin. That just does have to do with your life. Sometimes, because you're trying to do it on your own, you need to repent and turn to God and stop trying to do it all on your own. You try to keep doing it on your own, you're not going to make it. Or you're going to get burned out. And your hair is going to turn gray before it's time. Turn around and return to God, that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean. That times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air, may come from the presence of the Lord. How many know we had a hot summer? How many loved it when that cool weather started coming in? Woo! Hot, sweaty, No relief, but just fresh air, cold air. God's got times of refreshing in His presence. Anybody here need a little refreshing? Anybody here need some recovery? Anybody here need some restoration? In His presence. In His presence. Now, He's with us wherever we go. He says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. I mean, the Holy Spirit's in us 24/7. And so, you can sense His presence wherever you go. But it's good to get alone. It's good to get quiet. It's good to shut things down out in this noisy world and just listen and talk to our Heavenly Father. And you minister to Him, and He ministers to you. Times of refreshing, fresh air. Thanks, Eddie. Anybody here like to go to the mountains? You're up there, man, looking out. We were in Australia in the Blue Mountains. And the Blue Mountains really are blue. Because the trees, eucalyptus trees there, give it a blue haze. And the mountains were amazing because the trees there in these mountains, because of the height, the trees go all the way to the top. So it's just like this canopy of trees. And then it's blue haze. And we had this, the room we were in had this balcony looking out over that. And I just went out there and I had my coffee. And I'm sitting in my chair and I'm just looking out in the cool breeze. Is blowing, and it's just beautiful. You know, we need that in our daily lives. You need that when you're driving. Oh, it's okay they cut me off. Bless them, Lord. It's okay they're driving so slow. I'm in a big hurry today, but I'm just going to slow down. I need to slow down. How about today I'll just drive the speed limit? I'll just take my time. The ocean, the lake. But you know, you can be in these beautiful places and not be refreshed. You can spend a week there and come back worse off than when you started. Because we're talking about an inner refreshing. An inner refreshing. And that is the real you on the inside. And you can go to the spa and you can do the workout and you can do this and do that. And those are good things to do. But if you don't have that inner refreshing, oh, that's for naught. You might as well just sit in front of the TV and eat Krispy Kreme donuts. You may have more refreshing from that. I don't know. But when you're in His presence, you know, just like when you're with people. And when I'm with Susie, I mean, Susie just rubs off on me. Susie makes me a better person. Susie brings out the best, most of the time, in me. Because who you hang out with, and it's just, you don't even realize it. What's in them rubs off on you. How many know you can be with a down person, and you could be having a good day, and then their words. How many know words create things? You ever having a good day, and you come across somebody, you know, and it's just like there's this cloud on them, and the cloud kind of is swirling, and then it kind of moves over into your area and comes on you. Nobody at Good News Church, right? But they actually, what's in them rubs off on you and brings you down. See, you got to believe that verse, greater is He that's in you. And so instead of letting them bring you down, why don't you bring what's in you and bring them up? But if people can rub off on us, how much more can God rub off on us? When you spend time with Him, I mean, He is grace. He is mercy. He is comfort. He is power. He is love. And when you spend time with Him, what's on Him rubs off on you. The word anoint means to rub and smear on. Wouldn't you have greater anointing in God's presence? We need to be filled with God. But just like we have to take our cars and we've got to fill our cars up with gas. I was taking the trip to Alabama. I was not driving the speed limit. I repent. But I burnt up fuel. I used fuel. I had to stop and refuel. How much more spiritually do we have to do that? But let Him rub off on you all that He is. Let's look at Philippians 4. Philippians 4 has been just on my mind this last year. In so many situations, I go to Philippians 4. But let's read verse 13. And this is just for somebody here today. You need to take this. You need to confess this. You need to meditate on this. You need to just rehearse this. You need to speak this in front of all the situations you're dealing with. I have strength for all things. I have strength to be a parent. I have strength to be a student. I have strength to be a boss. I have strength to be a worker. I have strength to just exist. I have strength for all things. In Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength. There's that inner thing again. Inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. God's got an infusion of power for you today. An infusion of His strength. An effusion of His wisdom. And when things are fused together, they become stronger. I'm just believing that for right now, while I'm even speaking. Just strength is coming. Power is coming. For whatever God's called you to do, just that strength rising up on the inside. And you're up to any task. You're up to any situation. I don't care what the devil throws your way. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. You are up to it in Christ. You're going to make it. You're going to overcome. You're going to win. Victory is coming. Harvest is coming. And we're not quitters. And we're not backing down. And we're not going to be fatigued either. We're not going to have blurred vision. We're going to have crystal clear vision. And God's got us doing some amazing things. This is a church of laborers. We're empowering people to give life. And in a time when you need life, you're going to give life. Because that's just how we roll. That's what we do. That's who we are. How about Hebrews? For all you coffee lovers, Hebrews. Oh, brother. Hebrews 4:16. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace It's not the throne of condemnation. It's not the throne of anger. It's not the throne where the guy's got the baseball bat ready just to smack you. It's the throne of grace. It's the throne of goodness. The throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners. That we may receive. When you go to the throne, you're going to receive. When you go into God's presence, you're going to receive. When you go into, you're going to get something good. Why don't you take a moment and just slow down? Take a moment from all your busyness and take a break. Get some refreshing. Get in His presence. That we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need. Appropriate help, well-timed help, coming just when we need it. Again, if you're going to it's the throne of grace, that's going to rub off on you. Now, grace has got a lot of different sides, and we talk about the mercy side, and we should, and the favor side, and we should, you know, getting things we don't deserve, but we don't talk enough about the empowerment side. Grace also means divine ability added to your abilities. It's a divine empowerment. It's a strength that comes on you, and you can feel it in a tangible way, and you can be up to every task. I don't care. I mean, the toughest thing anybody's ever had to do was to go to the cross. The Bible says that Jesus turned His back to the people that whipped Him. Do you know how much inner strength that would take? You know how we resist pain? I mean, we don't like to get a shot. We'll avoid going to the dentist or all these different things because we don't want to feel any pain, discomfort. Jesus willingly turned His back. Do you know what they did to His back? They just took it off. But there was so much power and strength, and it happened in the garden. It happened in His presence. That power, angels came and strengthened Him for the task, the job that He had to do. If that, the toughest thing, what about us? What can God do for us in our situations? That power is available, but we got to tap into it. See, what's happening is we just do so much on our own, in our own inner strength. I mean, we're going to make our own way. You know, Americans, we're self-made, you know? Pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. You know, just, you know, rugged individualism. That's the American way. But I'll tell you, that's not going to cut it. Because in order to do what you've got to do, in order to fulfill the vision that you've got and the dreams that you got, you're not going to be given a dream that you can do on your own and your own abilities. I was way beyond my abilities years ago, probably the first year of pastoring. Well, how am I going to do anything? I got to trust in Him. I'm going to need His help. It's the throne of power. It's the throne of strength. It's the throne of empowerment. All right, let's get to the verses that I wanted to get to. That was like the appetizer. Now let's get to the main course. Matthew chapter 11. Oh, man, do I love this. Oh, my goodness, is this good. Woo! Man. This is like a filet medium, man. Got my baked potato with all my fixings. Got my salad. I got my warm whole wheat bread with that real butter on it. Oh, and I got my tea right there. Oh, my goodness. Woo! We sell a lot of steaks today in Augusta. Matthew 11, Verse 28, amplified. Come to me. Come to me. That's an invitation. Come on in. Come on. And he's not doing it with some kind of serious look. He's full of joy. Come on. Come on in. Come join me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Woo! Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. Can you smell that steak? For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. This word easy here means well-fitting. Well-fitting. The yokes they used back in that times were custom made for the animal. It wasn't, no one size fits all. Anybody here, you ever had things made, custom clothes, custom shoes? Back in my old days, I used to have some of that. Before I started going to Old Navy. I can get about 100 things of clothing that I used to pay for one custom fit shirt or pants or jacket. But I will tell you this, the custom clothes do feel better. You'll feel better and you'll look better because they're made for you. Hide your imperfections. Women are like, yeah, bring that up. Hide your imperfections. Accentuate the good areas, whatever those are, if we have any. Well-fitting. And so this yoke was custom-made for the animal. Now, what is the yoke? The yoke is the calling. The yoke is the vision. It's the dream. It's His plan. It's what He's created you to do. And this yoke is tailor-made, fitted for you personally. I mean, when you got a master craftsman, I mean, you've been in some of these automobiles that have been just, every cover on the seats have been stitched by hand. I mean, when you see something, wood or something that's been made by hand by a craftsman, I mean, they've just taken time and just, it's not just rushed through the manufacturing plant, slapped together. I mean, it's custom made. And you could just tell the difference. Well, that's the same thing. And God, I mean, just this yoke that He has for you is just tailor-made to your personality, tailor-made to you and how you are. And it fits perfectly. But a yoke is for two. A yoke isn't just for one. A yoke is for two. Now, who's the other part of this team? Who's the other part of the team? Jesus. Jesus. You're yoked together with Jesus. Do you think He's going to fail? Do you think He's going to let you down? Even when you're weak. This is the guy that carried the cross after He was whooped. whipped, carried the cross, went to the cross, descended into hell, and defeated the devil. This is who you're yoked with. He's there, and you'll get His strength, His encouragement, His wisdom. He'll carry the yoke when you can't. It's a yoke of love. I read this the other day. It is not that the burden is easy to carry, but it is laid on us in love. It is meant to be carried in love. Love makes the heaviest burden light. When we remember the love of God, when we know our burden is to love God and to love people, then the burden becomes one of joy and delight. There's the old story about the little boy. A man came upon this little boy who was carrying another little boy on his back. "That's a heavy burden for you to carry," said the man. The little boy said, "That's no burden. That's my wee brother." The burden which is given in love and carried in love is always light. Let's go to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And my part, and we'll do the next part, but this is so good. Oh my goodness, this is good. Psalm 23. I'm reading Amplified Version. Start with verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd. To feed, guide, and shield me, I shall not lack. He makes me to lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. He refreshes and restores my life, myself. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with Him, not for my earning it, but for His namesake. Yes, though I walk through a deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for You are with me. Your rod to protect and Your staff to guide, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My brimming cup runs over." Now listen to this last verse. Listen now, listen. "Surely, or only goodness, and mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. And through the length of my days, the house of the Lord and His presence shall be my dwelling place." In His presence. In His presence. And I want to take a moment. We've got a video that I want to show. And it's a few minutes long. And what I want you to do is I want you to just tune out everybody else around you. And I want you to worship Him. And I want you to talk to God. Or you just soak it in, what's being said. His presence is here. He wants to refresh you today. He wants to encourage you. He wants to meet you right where you're at. Receive. See, we've got to come to Him. That's a decision that we make. That's a choice we make. He's not going to force Himself on you. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. So as we show this video, I just pray that the Lord will minister to you and you'll talk to Him. Gray, are we ready? Maybe.
Turn away, just run into his arms.